The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it, and there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. This song comes crashing back into my mind from the recesses of my memory, which is wildly unhelpful when you're trying to write a sermon, and it's also a problematic way of viewing these figures in the Gospels. Not only is it a flat view of an entire group of people that veers all too quickly toward anti-Semitism, but also an incomplete understanding of these groups can also cloud the meaning of Jesus' words when he engages with them. In this morning's gospel, the Pharisees and some scribes question Jesus' disciples for eating without engaging in the practice of ritual hand washing. The scribes, as the ones who wrote down Jewish law, were considered experts and primary interpreters of the law. The Pharisees believed that both the written Torah and the rabbinic teachings known as the Mishnah have divine authority. The Mishnah, known as the fence around the Torah, contains additional teachings for how the people can avoid violating the teachings of the Torah. They use the teachings of the written Torah as their base and then extend them, add an extra layer of precaution so they can ensure that the Torah teachings are not violated. An example of this is the teaching from the Mishnah that one should not go for long walks on the Sabbath, because the Torah prohibits traveling on the Sabbath. And since one can't know for sure which footfall would be the one to cross the line from a long walk to traveling, it's wise to avoid long walks altogether. And the same principle is in effect in today's gospel when the Pharisees and scribes chastise the disciples for eating without washing their hands. This washing isn't required by the Torah except for the consumption of temple sacrifices. But since at the time you could never know for sure if the food you were eating was used in a temple sacrifice before being sold in the marketplace, it's wise to wash your hands before any meal. And they thought that any faithful Jew should do the same. Hence the question about the disciples' ritual hand washing this morning. And in his response, the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus highlights the central problem with their view of religion. Their practices may have begun out of a desire to follow God's commandments, but somewhere along the way, things have gotten off track. In focusing so hard on obeying the letter of the law, they sometimes miss the spirit of the law. Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees and scribes is often that their precise attention to ritual details leads to a blindness toward human need. Yet from a very early point, the law that they are trying to follow was not just about following rules for the sake of good behavior. In the portion of the Torah that we heard this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, Moses instructed the people of Israel that they were to obey the law diligently in order to show their wisdom and discernment to the peoples. The rules and commandments that had been a way of survival in a time of wandering in the desert was now to be something more, a witness to the God who brought them through the wilderness and into the promised land. Commandments that may once have been about them were now about something more. They were to become about living lives that revealed God's faithfulness and love to others. The goal wasn't about observance for the sake of personal achievement or reward, but to live a different kind of life that helped other people understand something new about God. The problem with Pharisaic religion by the time of Jesus is that it had become about following rules for the sake of following more rules. And with all of the extra teachings and observances that came to define their piety, it became hard for them to focus on anything other than rules. And then there's Jesus, who does something entirely different. He teaches that all of the law and prophets boil down to two commandments: love God, love one another. For Jesus, it's all about love. This is the spirit of the law that matters so much more than any of the other rules. And this is what Jesus modeled for us in his life. Every aspect of his life was about loving God and loving others, and about helping people to realize how much God loves them, just as they are. When followers of Jesus live with those priorities, it looks radically different from a life defined by following rules. And yet, far too often, like in the time of Jesus, religion today gets caught up in rules, trying to be good enough, trying to do everything right in order to attain some eternal reward. Yet the truth of the matter is that Jesus wasn't trying to get anyone to be religious, if being religious means following rules and performing rituals. He actually clashed with the really religious folks quite a lot. What Jesus asked of people was to follow him, to follow the example that he set, to live in this world loving God and loving others, and in doing so, revealing the depth of God's love, a love that could not be overcome by anything, even by death.
What actually matters is not what we take in through our religious practices, what we get out of them, what they get for us. But what matters is what comes out of us as a result of those practices. What matters is how we live our lives. The things that we take in here this morning, the words that I preach from this pulpit, the magnificent music that Vaughn plays this morning, the bread and wine that Bob will consecrate with our prayers of thanksgiving, all of this that we do here inside this building can ultimately become meaningless if it does not transform the way we live our lives outside those doors. This is the standard to which all religious practices must be held. Everything that we do here should reveal God's love to us, should help us in lifting our voices in loving praise back to God, should help us learn to love each other, and all of it in ways that help us love God and love others and reveal God's love back out in the world. It can never only be about what happens here inside these doors. And here's why. This week, I saw a company of firefighters featured on a food and travel show. The show highlighted their firehouse with its top-of-the-line gym, comfortable bunks and community spaces, and of course, a stunning kitchen. During the course of the show, the firefighters displayed for the camera the hearty meals that they prepare together and talked about the firehouse and how all of it was designed to help them be more effective as they responded to fire calls. Opportunities for exercise, rest, proper nutrition. They explained how cooking and eating together helped them to build community, which made them more effective as they worked as a team out on calls. There are many things that this society of firefighters does together, and all of it is oriented towards their primary reason for existence, which is to fight fires in their city. How then would we view a company of firefighters if the things that took place inside the firehouse became more important than their true mission? If sleeping and working out and eating became the focus of what they did, consuming their time and energy to a point that maybe one day when the bell rang and the fire burned, but the perfectly prepared meal was almost done and they were about to sit down, what if they decided to stay at the firehouse and enjoy their meal instead of responding to the call? I think we know what would happen. The city would burn to the ground. How then should we think about the church if it stays indoors when the fires of this world rage and burn? What does it say about us who have tasted living water? What if we tried to keep it all in here and tried to keep it to ourselves? Just as a firehouse has betrayed its mission if the firefighters stay inside, so too do we betray our mission as followers of Jesus if we focus so much on what happens here in this building that we lose sight of how God is calling us to bring forth the living water to the world in need. And the truth is, we don't even have to carry the living water to the world out there. It's already out there. That's why we don't have hoses and cool trucks. Our task is to share the good news that the God who is the source of living water, who brings new life and vitality even into the worst suffering and greatest evils of this world, whose living water is hope even in the driest, most desolate times in our lives, that this living water can be found by all who seek it. Like a firehouse, this building has many functions. It's where we can find rest. It's where we build community and share meals. It's where we strengthen our own relationship with the source of living water. so that we are nurtured and renewed and energized for our true calling as followers of Jesus. Learning to recognize God's love in every aspect of our lives, learning to love that way ourselves so that we share God's love with others. And then when we come back here again, we do so with praise and rejoicing for all that God has done and continues to do in our lives. And then we get strengthened, and then we get nourished, and then we go back out again. Just as Jesus gathered his disciples around him and then sent them out and then gathered them back around again, this rhythm of coming into this community and going back out again defines our Christian life. So stay a while this morning. And then go. Amen.